If you need a new roof or a repair, Easton Roofing will take care of you. Estimates are always free and suggestions are built on integrity. Visit EastonRoofing.com for more information. Get back to business faster with Easton Roofing. Easton Roofing. Integrity matters.
Welcome back to the show. Timmy, I got these new glasses because I thought you'd like them.
Those are the Harry Carey glasses.
Look at this guy. I didn't have to ask him. They didn't know.
Holy cow.
Harry Carey, Chicago. See?
You're Chicago, and you know all the little trinkets from the Chi-Town.
Sure I do.
Were you visiting...
Miami, Maryland, yeah.
Yeah.
Hello again, everybody. This is Harry Carey. You know, working a ball game really makes me hungry, and when I'm hungry, I can't help but think of the great Mexican foods made with La Preferida products. Just as a home run adds excitement to a baseball game, La Preferida sauces add excitement to your meal. If you want to hit a grand slam for your team, simply serve up a tasty dish made with La Preferida food. Holy cow, what a meal!
Doesn't that make you happy to hear Harry Carey talking about Mexican food?
I grew up watching Harry Carey and listening to Harry Carey. Now, he was with the White Sox. I wasn't a big fan. Then he went to the Cubs.
You loved him then.
The clouds opened up and the sun shined on Wrigley Field as Harry Carey became the announcer for the Cubs. But I remember absolutely. So when the Marlins first came into the league, they had a guy named Brett Barbary.
Yeah.
And he just could not
Jillian get, Barbary's like, husband.
Brett Barbecue is up to play.
Babar the elephant.
And then the Cubs had a Hispanic catcher by the name of Hector Venezuela.
Yeah.
And he would say, Hector, he looks like a Mexican waiter at the restaurant I was at last night.
I'd be
like, oh, my gosh. Harry could get away with that. I'm not sure if Harry could get away with some of the stuff he said now that he said then, but... He is a classic.
I was similar build to Hector Villanueva, I've been told in the past.
That was back when broadcasters just pounded beers the whole game.
Yeah, they did.
Harry, back then.
Bob Uecker.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, Bob Uecker and Harry Carey. And you guys don't remember this guy, but Jack Brickhouse.
Of course.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So... We had our future intern Namdi in here, and yeah. You were giving him advice. Now it's the portion of his visit when he sits in with Jake, and Jake said, "I'll give him some answers." Yeah. So do you think this?
I'll clear some things.
So
up
do you
for
think
him.
That? Yeah, he's going to clear some things. Do you think this will be more likely or less likely that he'll want to be an intern on the show after this next hour?
Well, we'll find out if he's got the chops.
Now we have
this is
to.
Where we find out
you're
if
gonna,
he's got the chops.
You're going to hear a lot of things over this next hour. Just
I
be prepared.
Show him a nice video.
Well, oh, yeah. What was the video? Oh, no, come on, just go ahead and tell that.
Should I show Nate?
Just give you an idea. Yeah, show him. Where's this at?
Is this in France? Stuff going on in France right now.
Show this video.
And there's crazy stuff going on in France right now.
Tell me, we're all going to gather around. Did you see this video?
No. How are we going to explain this?
Look at this
radio.
Video. I'll explain it.
No, it's a naked man standing.
There's a naked man standing in the street.
Now another man's gotten in his face. It just knocks him out cold.
Yeah, that's going on.
So
hey,
stopping traffic.
Pardon
so
my
here's,
French.
So wow. If you got a prospective intern, Jake's got a video of a naked man in France getting punched in the face in the street.
So I have a feeling. Does HR know that he is showing pictures of naked men to the interns?
No.
We don't have an HR department.
Yeah, Nate's the HR department.
It wasn't full frontal.
Nandi, you can report it to Nate after the show if you'd like to.
He's
got his book to write down things. So I've been told I can't ask you about Oklahoma or Texas trying to leave the Big 12 or anything because... Jake will be furious.
I'm tired of it.
He's tired of it.
You know what?
I'll give you 5 minutes.
Jake
is not alone, as John Kirby did a really nice job of breaking down
John Kirby
this whole situation.
I love John Kirby.
Give us 5 minutes of it. Come on. Let's hear what I want to hear what Grunny has to say.
Well, you know, this is going to be really, really difficult for the Big 12 / will be the Big 8 to bounce back from. A lot of people are talking about maybe some directional schools down in Florida joining, which would be Central Florida and South Florida joining the conference. But people are saying, you know, will that be a Power 5 type of a conference if they add those two? And then the other option is maybe SMU in Houston. But that really puts teams like Kansas, Kansas State, and Iowa State kind of in a pickle, because now all of a sudden you have a majority, a big-time majority of the schools that you play against, and the chancellors slash presidents slash ADs are all from Texas. So that's just not a good thing for those three schools that are kind of left out in the cold. So I'm not sure if that's a good situation either. People are talking about BYU maybe popping in. BYU is a national brand, but, you know, I don't know. It's just, it doesn't sound like the sexiest thing in the world. You know, listen, Oklahoma and Texas.
BYU doesn't sound
no,
sexy.
No, the school doesn't sound like the sexiest thing in the world.
Bringing BYU into the conference. Like, oh, they're going to save us. Here comes BYU.
You know why? Not enough caffeine.
Right.
Yeah. Not enough, a lot of things.
Some interesting relationship rules, though.
Not enough, a lot of things. That's horrible.
Again, he does this.
They have the phone book rule up there?
I don't...
I'm not getting involved in this
what
conversation
are you gonna say? Finish.
Nah, I'm just saying.
What's the phone book rule, Jake?
You've never heard the phone book rule?
No, I don't.
If you're sitting on someone's lap, you have to put a phone book on their lap first before you sit down.
Now, would that be the thick yellow pages or just like the local yellow pages?
Old school.
Nah, he's going, what's a phone book?
What's a phone book? We had that ruling.
That's
what
phone books.
That's what Nani said.
Nami or Nani or whatever. Phone books to everybody's house. It was literally like a huge book with everyone's phone number in.
Yeah, now it's creepy to look it up online. Yeah. You used to just be able to pull out the phone book and see where someone lives.
Yeah, and then you know, you'd always.
I mean, seriously.
Right, now you just have to have a burner account on Facebook to look up people you went to school with.
Like, I think it's creepy if you look at someone like, oh, you're looking up where they live. Like, you know what I mean? You used to be able to pull out the phone book.
Well, there was a lot of other creepy things you could find in the yellow pages, too.
At St. Pius, we had the
started
buzz book.
Started with E.
They give you a buzz book at the beginning of the semester with all the names and parents' names and stuff.
Like, what is that book that's made out of a phone?
I'll look her up in the buzz book.
In most of the St. Pius phone book ends in vowels. Yeah, is that true?
That's fine. So any other comments on Oklahoma or Texas leaving?
You know, well, listen, Texas hasn't been a very loyal member of the Big 12 since it started. It really, Texas is the reason why Nebraska left. Texas is the reason why Missouri basically left. Texas A&M for sure. They've taken the oxygen up in the Big 12 for a long, long time. Listen, the Big 12 needs schools like Texas and Oklahoma. I'm surprised with Oklahoma. I'm not surprised with Texas. But I think Texas and Oklahoma are kind of joined at the hip, where those two, if they go together, they hold a lot more cards. And in the SEC would love to have both of those products. But, yeah, it's not a good thing for Kansas.
Well, I mean, Texas is completely using Oklahoma.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Oh, I mean,
Texas doesn't give a rat's ass about anybody but Texas, which I'm not sure if that's good or bad.
I'm saying, if Texas was just trying to go to the SEC by themselves, the SEC would probably say, see ya. But the fact that they have Oklahoma with them, they're the team that the value, right?
Well, yeah.
That's the value program.
Now, remember when KU was being, I don't know about courted, but courting the Big Ten, Missouri and Kansas were joined at the hip in that deal, and it didn't work out. But the Big Ten wanted Kansas and Missouri. They didn't want just Kansas or just Missouri. They wanted Kansas and Missouri.
I mean,
when
you
that
think
didn't
they walked that one back? They'd rather have Kansas and Missouri right now than
Nebraska?
Rutgers, no.
I mean,
Rutgers,
excuse me.
Then Maryland?
Yeah, then Rutgers and Maryland.
I mean, those
are
absolutely Big Ten schools.
Oh, it's absolutely. Absolutely. But so now remember that Goff, who's the new AD, is a Northwestern guy, which is a Big Ten guy, so he has some connections there. And then the guy Phillips, I believe is his name, who worked at Northwestern with him, is now the head honcho of the ACC. So, I mean, I'm not saying that that's going to help or hurt, but there are connections that Kansas
note.
Has.
It's something to note.
But it just doesn't look good. This is happening, guys. There's been, you know, rumblings and undertone of these two schools leaving for a long time. You remember Oklahoma and Oklahoma State were tied at the hip for a while. That doesn't seem to be a deal anymore.
I don't think it's as sure as you make it sound. Like I think there's still a chance that Texas A&M goes to the SEC and says, hey, look.
But they have to have four votes.
I don't think Missouri wants them.
Missouri's one, A&M's two.
I mean, you just got to get two of those.
Why would the Mississippi schools want Texas?
Right. I mean, you automatically, if you're Ole Miss, you automatically go behind those two schools.
Vanderbilt says no to everything.
Can you do me a favor? Can you find Mangino's quote about money?
Oh, we've already played that. Played again.
Yeah, that's what it's all about.
Do you?
Guys.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Texas A&M may have a thorn in their proverbial side about it, but Missouri may not be real happy about
how much is too much.
To be brutally honest with you, if Alabama wants it to happen, it's happening. All right? It's as simple as that.
You know what this is all about, don't you? Dollar signs.
Dollar signs.
That's right. Dollar signs.
But it's not about making the rest of your conference happy?
No.
Okay. But no, fair.
I don't know.
Ask the question.
Because they will be happy once the money starts rolling in. I mean,
I don't think. I think if Texas joins SEC, I don't think A&M will ever be happy.
No, no. But I don't think the SEC cares. I mean, I really
fair
don't.
Fair point.
So listen, I am not like lobbying for Oklahoma and Texas to go.
Nate is speaking in realities.
It's about the money. And you're right. Texas A&M was when they were promised something in the matter of you have right of first refusal or a veto like on any team that joins in, and now it's like, well, no, you don't.
Do you think?
I think there's networks that are involved.
That it's a coincidence that this story comes out and CBS. Lebo is gone on vacation.
I think Lebo's probably right in the middle of this whole thing.
He's not here to answer
for
any of
this.
Hey, it's Lebo.
I'm just trying to read through it so I don't sound like a doofus.
Beginning Thursday, Sports Radio. It's all tonight on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Your home for everything that's f***ing great.
Just like everything that happens at this radio
station. In the park. See, Lebo's singing a different tune. No.
Yeah. Saturday. In the SEC.
Do you know
it
that...
It just means a little bit more.
That's absolutely right. Did you know that quarterbacks, rookies, and select veterans report to camp today for the Kansas City Chiefs?
Are you excited?
Of course I am. Yes, hell yes I am.
I made this comment yesterday, and the person that told me was like, laughed, but I think it was a nervous laugh.
Mm-hmm.
There's been a couple of the Kansas City Chiefs that have been, you know, at this time of the year, they're not... particularly, I don't know if they can or can't, but they don't work out over at the facility. So they go and find other places to work out.
Right.
And Mahomes and Gray and the wide receiver from Clemson and a bunch of other guys have been working out this specific field that I have very, very good connections at. And
I know where that is.
The guy had no idea how great Noah Gray looked. He said Noah Gray looks like, I mean, unbelievable.
The rookie tight end the Chiefs drafted that everyone's hyping up right now.
Everybody's hyping him up, and according to this guy, the hype is warranted.
Well, what are we talking about here? Let's get into it. I mean,
and then the other thing is Mahomes it looks as good as he's looked. And this guy, Mahomes has been going over there for the last 3 or 4 years, so... You know, it's funny because Mahomes now drives up in a Bentley, and back in the day, he was driving up in, you know, so he's got a little bit more.
Now, who's telling you all this?
I can't tell you.
Okay.
But I will tell you this. The ball has, he said, is just exploding out of Mahomes' hands. And Mahomes
finally.
He's got a chip on his shoulder. Finally got an arm on him. This is just some inside information for you, Nate. I mean, you know, I just trying to give
tell
you guys.
Tell me more about Noah Gray, because I'm very interested in this. Is this enough for Jake should be considering him as a fantasy sleeper?
Yes.
I'm going to have to go put a giant bid on him, because I don't think he drafted him.
I absolutely would. I think
now, why didn't you bring him up when you asked me about all these damn tight ends the other day?
Remember, we were talking about all these different
Powell before.
Yeah, you were.
You gave me all these
damn tight ends. You were bringing up the kid from Notre Dame. You didn't bring up Noah Gray.
Tommy Tremble.
Right.
During the draft, you asked me who I was most excited about on the offense.
You said Tommy Tremble.
I said Noah Gray, you son of a gun. I didn't.
Tommy Tremble.
Yeah.
I drafted Powell.
Just because the Hall of Famer Tim Grunhart tells you you're
listening. Didn't bring Noah Gray up, or I would have said something.
Well, I mean,
Lewis Riddick was talking about him like that.
I tried to tell you.
I drafted Brevin Jordan.
Well, I'm not listening to Nate.
Who's his quarterback?
To Tim Grunhart.
You can get him in your dailies. All right, just get him in your dailies.
Well, I think he's still out there. I think he's going to have to put a large bid on him now.
Think he'll have a bigger impact on the passing game than Cornell Powell? Like, which rookie?
Gray.
So Gray.
I think Powell will be a good option in the red zone. We talked about this a little bit earlier. They need a bigger body in the red zone. The Chiefs last year in the red zone, they've got to make some adjustments, and they have. All indications are that they have. Number one, you know, in the red zone last year, teams were just taking away the space. I mean, they were using that back line as the 12th defender. and they were flooding zones, and the Chiefs couldn't run the ball, so it was really, really difficult to pass the ball because defensive coordinators were saying, listen, we're going to take away the stuff that you like to do in the passing game down in the red zone and do something about it, and they couldn't. So the Chiefs struggled a little bit last year in the red zone. So let's talk about some of the positives, I think, going into this year of the red zone. I think number one is this offensive line is more geared towards a more power gap running team, which is good down in the red zone because you're just hitting right off of double teams and it's straight line downhill running, which I think is good down there. And, you know, safeties are going to have to respect that if they start to hit some of those gap runs with power counters, traps, and those kind of things I think they could do with this line. Number two, I think you're going to see a two tight end set. So, yeah, okay, let's double team or we'll bracket Travis Kelce with a safety in their best cover linebacker. But now you're putting a Mike linebacker or a Sam linebacker on Noah Gray. And if Noah Gray has the athleticism and the pluckability and his catching that everybody says he has, a big strong hand.
What ability?
Pluckability. Oh, plucking the ball out of the air.
Pluck you, man.
Emphasis on the...
Another option. So, you know, if you're going to forget about him, he's a big body down there, and that's what you need. And the other thing is the wide receiver from Clemson, I'm trying to blank.
Cornell Powell.
It's just another big body receiver. When you're down there, there's just not a lot of space. So the bigger the body, the more aiming space you have, you know, getting the ball up in the air is better. So I think the Chiefs are going to be improved in the red zone this year because of some of the things they've done in this offseason. I do think that we are all pretty excited about this draft class, maybe a little bit too excited. But, I mean, all indications are that this draft class is going to impact on this team, which is really a good thing for Veach. And Veach is very, very excited about this Noah Gray deal.
He's
very excited about him.
More things your source said about Noah Gray. Like you said,
He's just a big, physical kid who's smooth, got great hands, and he's a lot faster than he thought he'd be. I mean, he's a big kid, and they thought, you know, he's going to lumber around like most tight ends do. He's not. He's very fast, very quick. How hard is this
offense to pick up for a first-year player?
I think it's hard. I do think that, you know, you start to limit. What you do is, okay, you say, listen, Noah or
Cornell.
Listen, here are the packages that we want you to learn and run, and this is kind of what you're gonna, you know, in the game plan. Okay, when we do this 12 personnel, you know, here's a place that you need to know. I would say that out of the 100% of the offense, that, you know, he's going to have a good understanding of maybe 60 to 65, 70% of it. He doesn't have to know the whole thing, but a good amount of it. And I think in the red zone, that would be his point of emphasis. Listen, we get down in the red zone, we get inside the 30-yard line, you know, we're going to really in there. So you've got to know. Now, remember, when, you know, in a game plan, you have the playbook, okay? Right now, the Chiefs are going to St. Joe, and they're getting the playbook. And the playbook will be installed in like 3 or 4 days.
Starts today!
Right?
Missing this all damn day. This is what I needed.
They install in 3 or 4 days. I mean, it is a high pressure, really, really fast installation, and you've got to pick it up because no, they're not waiting for you to figure it out. So as you go, as a rookie or a young guy, as a team goes, and you have this installation, you know, you're putting all this stuff in. It probably takes 3 or 4 or 5 days to put everything in, and then you start to, okay, now we're going to go against this odd defense. We're going to go against this 4-2 defense. So we're going to start doing some different things with blitz packages and everything else. So now you have to take that installation stuff, not just against a base vanilla look, but now you have to supplement it against all kinds of different fronts and different blitzes and different stunts and different things. And then you go through that. So training camp, and all of a sudden now you kind of have a pretend game in a preseason game where the first game is like, I don't care what they do, we're going to run our stuff. I want to see what you know when you get out there and you have to react. And then the second game is usually, or now it'd be the third, it was the third game before, it's the second game. Now, we're going to put a little bit of a game plan in just to practice putting a game plan in the third game the younger guys will play. But when you get to the season, everybody, you don't have the playbook. The playbook is not all is put into game plans. All right, you take stuff from the playbook that you think you're going to have success against that team. You put it in the game plan, and when you put that game plan together, the players now, it probably cuts it in half. So out of the big playbook, half of the game plan is installed, and that's what you need to learn. So it's a little bit easier when you get into the season because it's cut down a little bit. But on the other side, there's just a lot of different things that are presented to you from the defenses you have to react to. So it kind of balances that way.
You're not eating any, everything in the fridge. You're just taking the ingredients you need for that night's
supper. Absolutely, right. If you if you're cooking your chicken...
Hey, that's a metaphor I understood.
I love it. You're cooking, you know, you're cooking a good chicken parmesan. You get the chicken. You got a
chicken parm.
You're going to pound it. You're going to pound that chicken. You want to flatten that chicken. You're going to pound it out. And then all of a sudden you get, you know, you get your garlic, you get your garlic, you get your oregano.
But you don't have to get your cumin out. You're not putting any cumin in
there.
You know, you don't need the whole fridge. You take the ingredients for supper on this night. And tonight we're eating Broncos because they suck.
Leave the cinnamon in the spice rack. You don't need the cinnamon, right?
Yeah, what are you doing?
But we got it. We got it. We got it.
Get out in the panko.
And to your
point, it's been installed. The cinnamon's been installed.
And to your point,
we're not using
what?
It this week.
Maybe you ruined the dinner.
Yeah.
Maybe the dinner just sucks when you take a bite into it. And sometimes you got to say, okay, well, we got to throw this dinner away, and we've got to make another dinner.
Yeah, that's
right. Somebody get out the steak.
Yeah.
Get out the
prime rib. Prime rib.
Get out the tortillas.
And you throw some ingredients for that.
That's right.
Now I'm hungry all of a
What the hell's going on right now?
Oh, no, I love it, though.
Let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to listen to what Good Morning Football had to say about Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Here we go. We're going to get him him all riled up again.
Why is this all about getting Jake
riled
up?
Nate declared Clyde Edwards-Helaire the number one running back in fantasy football.
All of football.
Maybe he was a year early.
I just have one thing to ask Nate. Are you going to talk about him catching the ball in the backfield in this next segment?
Yeah,
please.
For once.
Of course.
I need to hammer Mellinger on the bet. He lost it. I won it.
I need to hear the parameters again. I forget.
It was over 1,501 yards was the over-under. And I took the under, and he took the over.
Well, we'll find
total
out.
Yards from scrimmage.
We'll find out what they said on NFL Network this morning after this on WHB. Welcome back to the show. A little bit of breaking news. The Cleveland Indians are changing their name next season to the Cleveland Guardians. It'll be the Cleveland Guardians.
The Guardians, huh?
Yeah. Now, I guarantee you that the only thing that Jake is thinking about is Guardians of the Galaxy how that possibly could
Chris
relate
Pratt
to that movie, right?
Thinking about the financial company, the Guardians.
Rocket.
Do you think that's why they're doing it? Because of the movie?
I hope.
That's what you want, right?
100%.
You want that to be true.
You nailed it. As soon as you said that, I was like, Guardians.
Because that's why he didn't trash it immediately. Like, Guardians.
I kind of like
Guardians
it.
Of the Galaxy.
Right.
What do you think of that?
Drax.
Drax.
It'll be the Cleveland Guardians next year.
The name sounds weird to me. The logo, it fits like, it looks just like the script and everything looks just like the Indians one.
The Guardians.
What does it look like? What is their,
Show
them.
It's Guardians. So, it ends with D-I-A-N-S.
All right.
So okay. I don't know about this thing with the
It's not the same, though, because it says Guardians.
How did they come up with this, by the way?
I don't know.
They're like, was
they had Tom Hanks narrate the video.
They wanted to keep Ian's, like something, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Aliens.
Yeah.
Aliens would have been cool.
Yeah, you have a spaceship come out there and for the relief
pitcher. Cleveland Aliens.
Whatever.
Guardians of the Galaxy.
That's why he loves
what I'm talking about.
Welcome to the show.
Yeah.
Hello.
Let's hear. Now, do you want to hear?
Yeah, I do.
So I'm torn here because I know that.
Consider the source.
No, because here's the deal. You can't have it both ways. He wants us to talk about football, right? So I find a clip about Good Morning Football talking about the Chiefs. And talking about Clyde Edwards-Helaire,
he's talking about football.
Like, but now he's mad because it's Kay Adams, and he don't want to hear from Kay Adams. Now, why don't you like Kay Adams?
I don't know.
I like Kay Adams. What's wrong with her? No, you have to know. If you say you don't like someone, you have to be able
to talk. I don't think
is it because she was on satellite radio?
Yeah, I used to prank her.
A fantasy show. Jake would call in to a fantasy show and prank her.
I used to have satellite radio. I listened to it, and she was on a fantasy show on Fantasy Talk on Sirius XM.
I was a guest on that. I was a guest with her one time.
Well, I used to call her and I used to prank her.
Well, what do you mean prank her?
I would ask her a question.
Is your washing machine running?
Yeah. No.
You better stop, yeah.
I asked her a question.
You got pop in the bottle? And you better let him out before he suffocates.
Oh, well.
That's what my dad used
that's
to do.
That's pretty
fun. You over in the can?
Yeah.
Whoa.
There's the Drake right there.
Speaking of being in the can.
Whoa. Did you call in with names like Michael
You know,
no, we're not going there. Stop it.
We don't. I don't even really. It was a different time in my life.
Yeah, and this is a different time in her life. She's a Good Morning Football on NFL Network.
She's doing all right. I think she's doing fine despite Jake's.
Let's hear.
You know what? I think I'm doing fine.
What they have to say.
You're doing better than fine, man.
Let's hear what they have to say about Clyde Edwards-Helaire this year. How about that?
Crazy how much depth there is at running back this year in fantasy football. I was looking over at NFL.com at the rankings, and Clyde Edwards-Helaire is ranked 22nd among running backs. That is crazy value. Of course he can be a top 10 guy. It's an absolute dominant offense. They're going to put up points. He only had 5 touchdowns. I'm going to go, okay. I'm okay with this choice. 5 touchdowns was disappointing. I think he builds on that. A couple pieces left from the passing offense. I think he'll pick up right where he should have left off. He's involved in the passing game as well. And let's remember, we didn't have those great numbers. They add Le'Veon Bell. They do
Wrong.
That. There's no Le'Veon Bell there. There's nobody on the depth chart that's going
Wrong.
To threaten him for carries, for receptions, for just touches in
that's
general.
Crazy.
So he's the only show in town, and the Chiefs live in the red zone. No way is he not pushing for the top 10 spot in fantasy football this year.
So, okay. Last year,
Kay Adams,
Nate was very aggressive and made Clyde Edwards-Helaire
tons of touches took from him.
The number one overall pick in his fantasy draft. Now that was you were too aggressive.
I was too aggressive.
Okay, now, but what about
maybe I was a year early?
What about a top 10? Is he a top 10 fantasy player? Jake Gutierrez, will he be this year? Are they going to run?
How many people are in your let's say your draft in your league?
12.
All right, I think he's a second pick in that.
You mean second round?
Yeah.
Okay.
Second round.
So do you think the Chiefs are going to run the ball more?
Yes.
So you've said that because of the line and everything else. Do you think he's going to be a bigger factor in the passing game?
Well, as I reflected on Clyde Edwards-Helaire last year, I think he was overwhelmed a little bit by this offense mentally. And it wasn't particularly the run game per se. I think it had a lot to do with pass protection, which limited him. And some of the formation stuff, I think, limited him. I think he'll be better at that this year. I think that that's, once again, I'm using the phrase point of emphasis for the Chiefs. Under the subset of running the ball more and then under the idea of being able to score more points in the red zone, you see Clyde Edwards-Helaire in the brackets under those themes. He needs to step up in the passing game where they could trust him to put him on the field. I thought last year that he ran the ball efficiently and maybe even more than efficient. I thought he ran it pretty well. But at times, they couldn't put him in there because, A, he didn't know what he was doing, and, B, he just was not prepared physically in order to pick up some of the stuff in the blitz game that they were bringing at the Chiefs. So he needs to get better at that. So I would wait one more year to see if Clyde has made those adjustments.
Because you're like me, all you can think about is Patrick Mahomes.
I know.
Because you love him.
But I do think that the arrow is pointing up on this kid. I just think that...
He's not top 10.
Mentally, okay. Can he make that adjustment?
All
because,
right,
guys, Jim, we just talked about it 5 seconds ago with Noah Gray and can rookies come in and play in this league? And obviously, the answer is no.
And I think there are guys that might take some touches away from him. I think, you know, I think
well, McKinnon is going to be a third down back.
Jerry McKinnon's going to be nice if he stays healthy. Yes. I like that.
McKinnon will be the third down back.
So
kind of the Todd McNair.
Just keep of
the
I love
City
that.
Chiefs.
Now keep him healthy because he was productive when he was healthy with the 49ers. Now, and so we're talking about the, you know, Cleveland Indians change their names to Cleveland Guardians. There's still a lot of buzz around the B&B Fantasy Football League. When I changed my team name from the Northland 69ers to the Competitive Pricks.
Right.
And so now you're still the little fellas, right?
Yeah, I've always been the little fellas.
Tell us how high Jake is, right? Tell us how high
you would take
Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Okay, so.
Be honest, because you took a number
fellas,
one. Too much.
Little fellas, you have the 8th pick.
You were on the clock.
On the clock.
Number 8 overall, you taking him?
I mean, it depends on who's there, but I'm willing to take him. I'm willing to take him with the 8th pick.
Do you know what pick he had
over,
this year?
Do you take him over, let's just say, Nick Chubb?
You want him over Nick Chubb?
I might take him over Nick Chubb, because Nick Chubb got split carry.
He's taking him over Nick Chubb in your face. You thought you had him, but he says no.
You take him over Aaron Jones?
You take him over Aaron Jones?
probably not.
You take him over.
Wait. Who's the quarterback in Green Bay?
Who's the quarterback, buddy?
Doesn't matter. It means they'll run it more.
Doesn't matter, he says.
Oh, it matters. You can run it all the time if everybody's not worried about the passing
game.
You
say in the first round, Grunty, no way.
No, thank you. I'm with Grunty.
You say in the first round, maybe. What's the highest you take him?
Probably wouldn't take him before the eighth pick.
Okay.
Like so, the eighth overall
somehow
pick?
He landed at the right spot, number eight.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think.
Okay. Now Jake's
I'm looking. I'll be looking at my options, but yeah.
Jake's a fantasy insider.
He's a tier three running back, right?
I think. What does that mean?
I think there's like tier one would be like McCaffrey, Cook, and Henry. Those would probably be your top three guys.
Okay, so you're breaking these tiers up into threes.
Okay. I'd say he's in the
Edwards Zelaire.
Okay,
had a
so no, I like
McCaffrey
this. So go ahead.
Year.
So
then who?
Your top three running backs are McCaffrey.
Yeah, okay. How many games did McCaffrey play?
I'm just telling you.
When McCaffrey's healthy, he is a machine.
He goes,
okay.
He goes,
all right. We're going to end this conversation. We are going to absolutely end this conversation.
The producer says we are ending the conversation. It's over.
If you think you're willing to take Allaire over McCaffrey, then we shouldn't even keep going.
We should. That's exactly why we should keep going.
Hey, the Guardian Legal Network.
To keep going.
No.
Is McCaffrey going to be on the field?
Yeah, is he going to be on the field?
I mean, geez.
Yeah, he was last year.
For 14 games,
So if they were both on available, and you're on the clock, would you take Clyde Edwards-Helaire over McCaffrey?
No.
Okay, thank God.
That's all. Oof. So then,
okay, I'm just saying,
how many running backs you got ahead of him?
If
I would say he's probably like 12.
12th running back?
Yeah.
So he's the fourth tier.
No, I think first tier is like three guys, and then like the next is like Barkley, Kamara, Chubb, Ezekiel Elliott, Aaron Jones. And then he's in the next tier with, like, Mixon, and I think Harris from Pittsburgh is in that tier. I think Edwards-Helaire, Chris
Harris
Carson.
Might be a sneaky good pick this year.
Right, but he's, like, in that same range.
You can have Saquon Barkley.
Okay.
Now, I do think that Helaire has the ability to be a top pick.
Yeah, the thing is...
It's not there yet.
The thing about...
He's still kind of percolating. He's still maturing.
The thing about... And if, you know, the fantasy football world is we're not drafting guys based on what they did last year. You're drafting
them.
That'd
be weird if we were.
Right.
Well, but
A
lot of people do. Well, because my point is, what if all of a sudden McCaffrey, all the workload that he's had the first few years of his career has caused him to start breaking down.
See, that's why.
Now, I don't think that with McCaffrey because he's still young enough, but it happens all the time in the NFL.
That's why I'd be horrible at fantasy football.
No, you'd be great.
Because
I'm
picking Patrick Mahomes what we did last year.
No, that's all
right. Right.
Well,
so
but,
no,
but I think it's very reasonable to believe that Patrick Mahomes
Hopkins on what he did last year.
There is never a time when I'm in a draft, if Mahomes is available, I'm taking him. I don't care what pick it is.
I think that's kind
of, I might only have a quarterback.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
I think it's pretty reasonable to expect that Patrick Mahomes is going to achieve like he did last year.
And then I'll take Kelce.
But, you know, like.
And the Chiefs defense.
And Tyreek Hill.
I will not take the Chiefs defense.
And the kicker.
I will not do
but
that.
But you guys all know that the shelf life on a running back is different. You know, shelf life on a running back, like, okay, now maybe I should have factored in that going into the Chiefs offense is a little more difficult for a running back than going into other offenses.
Because you made it a number one overall pick.
Yes, I did. Because if you look around, it wasn't insane.
It was.
It wasn't insane.
It's absolutely nuts.
But you couldn't have known this. So you
listened to Lewis Riddick, and you got him. He got you worked up.
Don't listen to Lewis. So here's
Lewis Riddick was way off.
Hey,
on
he's been
homes.
Talking about Noah Gray. But, talking about Noah Gray.
But so real quick, and then I'll let you finish. So you really. Your mistake wasn't that Clyde Edwards-Helaire couldn't pick up the offense. You didn't know that Clyde Edwards could not pass block. That's the only reason why he didn't
pass.
Play
pro is important.
Yeah. Well, but that's
it, protect it was my quarterback to take
well,
him first overall.
I think
last
physically
year.
He can pass block. I think the issue is knowing the playbook well enough to understand all the responsibilities of pass blocking. You know,
yeah,
that's my opinion. But I looked at it. Ezekiel Elliott. Saquon Barkley, there are a list of running backs who rookie year was their best year.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's outrageous. Now, like the kid Harris from now, maybe you know Pittsburgh's a better opportunity there because it's not as complicated of an offense as the one that Andy Reid runs. But you know, I don't think it's silly to draft a running back in your fantasy draft early, a rookie running back, because a lot of times rookies come
now,
right in.
Were you taking into consideration when you made this pick of Clyde Edwards-Helaire in the first pick of your draft, the offensive line?
Well, the offensive line was good at the beginning of the season.
Well, no, they're good, but they never can run block.
Well, I don't know that that's true. I mean,
are you kidding me?
When they had Osemele,
Timmy says it's true.
When they had Osemele, I mean, you know, when they had their guards intact before they got hurt, I thought they could run block okay. I think they can run block better now. But here's
okay
where
is not like the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Indianapolis Colts.
That's fair.
And,
here's where I thought. This is where I thought actually Edwards-Helaire was the most disappointing last year from a production standpoint, where I overvalued him.
Receiving.
The offensive line this year will run block.
I thought, yes, but I thought he would have 500-600 yards receiving. And maybe that was crazy. But with the way he produced at the wide receiver, you know, at catching the ball at LSU, and the way that the track record of Andy Reid, he loves to use the running back, with the way Kareem Hunt caught the ball and all that stuff, I thought, oh, man, he's gonna be a dynamo in the pass game. And he wasn't. You know, so now I think he'll take a big step forward there. We'll see.
I do, too. I don't think he's a first. I don't trust it yet. I'm not a fantasy
player. Right.
I do the daily fantasy stuff.
If you're in the back end of the second round, it'd be a good snag.
If you draft him early this year, you're doing it. It's a speculative pick. Because you're the
Stephen St. John of fantasy drafts. You pick chief players.
Well,
I do.
A couple years ago, I drafted Dalvin Cook, and he hadn't had the breakout year yet. And I drafted him thinking this is going to be the year that he breaks out. And it turned out to be right that time. I was wrong with Clyde Edwards-Helaire, but I'd rather
Dalvin Cook had his breakout second year.
What's that song? Breakout.
Swing Out Sister. That's a great. Jake's dad loved that song. I love that.
This is third year.
A good song. We'll play that song. Bumpy's coming back.
This is Clyde Edwards-Helaire's theme song for us this year. Every time he has a good game, we need to play this song on Monday. Here we go.
This is a feel good song.
Here we go.
It's a toe tapper.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire's theme song for the 2021 football season is. Yes.
This is a banger.
This could be just like St. Elmo's Fire for the Royals.
This song hits just right in the morning.
It does.
Right?
And then, you know, you love it because it just goes right into it. Watch, here it goes. They don't even mess around. Break out.
This is like a cold splash of reality in your face. It's like a nice when hit off the vape for Jake.
There's not enough horns in music these days.
Let's go to break thinking about
this
song.
Run the ball.
And Drake's dancing. Don't act like you don't want to dance in this Kansas City. We'll go to break. You listen to this and dance in your car right now on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Move on. Don't hesitate.
This is a good song, too. Welcome back to the Border Patrol. Quarterbacks, rookies, and select veterans report to training camp at Missouri Western State University. I report to training camp on August 1st.
Would you like to take a guess at some of the select veterans?
Veterans coming back from injuries normally is what it is, but who else?
I would think that Lucas Niang will be there.
Coming back from the opt-out, yes, he should be.
Uh-huh.
If he's not, he should be, but
offensive line-wise, do you think LDT will be back?
He should be as well.
Mm-hmm. All right. Offensive line-wise, that might be.
Like if you're looking for guys that coming back from injuries, like Taco Charlton should be one of them.
Taco Charlton should be one of them.
He's got a chance to be an important player for this team.
I'm trying to think of some other guys that are probably.
I would say that DeAndre Baker and Mike Hughes. It would behoove them to be there.
Yeah. Right. I think some of the new guys will be there, and then obviously all the rookies. It's a great rookie class, I think, this year. We talked about it a little bit earlier. That a lot of those guys.
Nick Bolton. The rookies are going
to
be there.
Nick Bolton's talking today, right?
Nick Bolton's like M-I-Z.
So is Creed Humphreys. I told you my story. I know I said it last night.
You think Creed Humphrey's going to run over to Nick Bolton? We want to join you.
Howard Mudd was my offensive line coach. God rest his soul. What a great guy he was. And I remember the first time I did the media at William Jewell College. I walked off of the field, and there was a bunch of media there, and I was talking to the media, and he was kind of standing there kind of watching. And as I walked by him, he kind of walked with me and says, remember, rookie, you're meant to be seen, not heard.
That's right.
So, Creed, good luck. You remember, you're meant to be seen, not heard. But it's a different world now. These guys, I mean, they're on the stage with the big background. But, my offensive line coach was one of those old school guys that you didn't talk to the media until at least the second year. And then, of course, I didn't listen to him.
So. You know what people tell me? I'm meant to be heard, not seen. So just look at me.
You're a good radio man.
Thank you.
So
now that I just said that out loud, it seems hurtful to me. I thought that was a compliment, and I don't like the way that sounds.
So when's the first time you're heading to our place? Hi-ho.
It's off to work we go.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever you go.
Whenever I go.
That's pretty much the deal. When are you going to be there?
I don't know. I'll let you know, though.
That sounds. That doesn't
I just
sound
don't
promising.
Know. Colin has 4 or 5 days off, so we're taking
Bring
him down
him
to
up.
Florida.
Oh, he's
taking him down there. He wants to go deep sea fishing.
Why Florida instead of St. Joe?
I don't know. He wants to go deep sea fishing, so we're taking him next Thursday. Deep
I'm
sea
up
fishing.
There August 1st through August 8th.
Mm.
Anytime you want
That's
to come up.
That's pretty much when I'm in Florida.
Well, there you go.
You know what, though, Steven? I'm here with you all the time.
I'll handle
you know
everything
what?
Up there.
Well, I'm
I'll
with you.
That's right.
I am with you.
Both literally and metaphorically.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Flop, flop.
Let's give Red Ass Nate the final word.
Okay.
Hey, Texas, don't let the door hit you on the way out. Bye, bye, bye,
Nate
Felicia.
Nate says, hey, Texas, don't let the door hit you where the good Lord split you. And that, Timmy, is their ass.
I like it. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Timmy can't wait to get out of here.
Bye.
Everyone have a great weekend right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.